to the Life Happens Laugh Anyway podcast. I'm comedian Tracy DeGraff.
And I am Catherine, co-host and bestie.
Co-host and bestie Catherine, we are here now for the second day in a row recording.
Yay, look at us.
I know, we're trying to get ahead, so we're so sorry,
we're clawing
friends.
At it.
We're so sorry. We already went over this last week, but yeah. I'll just say again, sorry that we missed a week. It was the first time in 3 years that we missed a week like that.
Yeah.
Like we had planned a couple breaks, but we just could not get to the studio, to the pod lab. But here we are today. Now, if you're joining us for the first time, I just want to say welcome aboard to the Life Happens Laugh Anyway podcast. And I hope that you'll go back and binge all the other episodes.
I hope that too.
There's a lot of them. This is episode number 164. Is that it?
Yeah, it is.
Okay, 164. And so you have plenty of episodes to binge, and we have a lot to say. Our podcast started during the pandemic because we didn't have anywhere to go, nothing to do, nobody to see. And so we started a podcast.
Yeah. Look at us now.
I know. And what we do is we take a different topic every week and we bring it to you in what we hope is an entertaining fashion. We want to educate, entertain, and inspire. Those are our three, like, goals, I guess.
Yeah.
Or pillars or columns or whatever.
Oh.
Don't say columns.
Don't say columns.
We'll get to it. So today's topic is the Duggar family, and the documentary that is out now, has been out, I think, for a little while, called Shiny Happy People. And they're not so shiny. They're not so happy. I don't even know if they're people.
I don't even know. Some of them are monsters.
Exactly. So we're going to get to that, and we're going to give you some takeaways and all that kind of stuff. But before we do, I want to talk briefly about our sponsors, because we're so grateful for them.
We are. Yeah.
Thank you all of our sponsors. We if you'd like to cross over and become one, all you have to do is go over to Patreon, to our little Patreon page, put in the name of our podcast, Life Happens Laugh Anyway, and you can, too, become a humor contributor instead of just a humor consumer. And you can sponsor us with $5 a month. Trust me, once you set it up, you'll never miss it. It's like one cup of coffee. In some cases, it's like a half a cup of coffee
per month. Yeah, no kidding.
And that money, so far, that money has helped us just to purchase these microphones. We used the money for that. And there are expenses to this podcast, so it's to help support the podcast. So if you're a fan of the podcast, support us with your $5 a month. What you get in return is episodes, just these episodes that we put out there in our gratitude.
Maybe, can we attach our sponsors' names to our show notes?
Like, yeah.
Do that?
I think I do, actually. I think they're in there.
Oh, do you? Oh.
Yeah, because
yeah, I read them.
Catherine.
Well, I trust you.
Well,
like, I know you're.
I know I've had them in there in the past because I copy and paste the show notes and I change them up every once in a while. But I'll double check and I can put them in there because we have about 20 sponsors, I think. Do this every time. Why? Why? Now it's gone again. Don't stop it. Catherine says she's going to edit that out.
I am.
But every time we say we're going to edit something out, we leave it in.
I don't know. No, not every time. There are times I'm like, yeah. I don't
want to. Anyway, let's just get on
with
it.
Let's just go.
Let's move on. Our topic today, friends, is Shiny Happy People, the disaster of the Duggar family.
I want to tell, I did not share this with you prior to right now. I never followed the Duggar family. I would see them in headlines or the cover of a magazine or whatever at the checkout. I mean, I knew...
You knew of them.
Of them. I knew they were 19 kids or whatever it was. And then one day she's pregnant with the 20th and no heartbeat. Like,
right.
I knew that. That's all I knew.
Well, the name of the show, 19 Kids and Counting...
Yeah, I didn't even know it was called that.
Okay, that was the name of the show. That got my attention. As a mother of five kids, you know, and then when I was pregnant with the fifth one, I forced my husband to have a vasectomy. Yes, I did. Give him an ultimatum. You either have a vasectomy or we cannot have sex because clearly we don't know how to prevent anything. We're bad at prevention. And my body was done at five kids.
Yeah.
It was so painful that last pregnancy that I knew for sure beyond a shadow of a doubt my muscles in my abdomen cannot handle being pregnant one more time. I don't know how these women do it. I don't know how Michelle Duggar had 19 children.
I don't. I mean, it's like a litter. I mean, even, I hate to compare it, but like even dogs can't have that many litters. It's not good.
Well, and so her whole adult life from marriage till whenever her last baby was born, and then her body obviously just shut down. You know, God does turn that faucet off eventually. Mm-hmm. Anyway, let me back up a quick minute and just tell you what we're going to try to cover today in mm-hmm. today's episode. We are going to give you like a synopsis of this documentary. We watched all the, there's four episodes in the docuseries, and we watched all of them. So we're going to give you like a little synopsis of it. Mm-hmm. Then we're going to give you like our take. Like what are our thoughts on this whole situation?
Please, Lord, seal my lips on some of it.
And then finally, just some warnings that we see as Christian women. We see some red flags. And those white pillars, if you see white pillars in front of a building, run.
We're probably run. Insulting a lot of good, faithful churches.
Whatever. Cover up the pillars. Then, as always, we have some scripture to share and then a call to action at the very end. So, Catherine, I've never heard of this.
Yeah, like
me. Okay, give me your synopsis of what you just watched.
Well, it's very scandalous. It is... As we said, this I thought it was going to be only about the Duggars and how it went downhill for them, but I didn't know the depth of it. I did not know it was under this whole umbrella of this Bill Gothard, who was like his institution or organization is what the Duggars believed in, and it was called the IBLP.
It was, yeah.
And I forget what the I is, but it's Basic Life Principles, I think.
Yeah.
And
institute,
of course.
It's how an institute.
Can it not be institute
in Basic Life Principles?
Yes. So it is also that story enmeshed in it as well, because that's the umbrella that it was under. And as I said, the scandal that happened within the Duggar family, and then of course the scandal in this organization that's huge to the point of where people in high political positions are mentioned in it. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much they knew or didn't know what the timeline was, you know, in regards to that. So so it's the downfall of this organization. And the way, too, that the Duggar family, they put TLC
on the map.
On the map.
They did.
And when the scandal came out about the Duggar family, initially, the first scandal was their eldest son. He was touching his sisters and other girls inappropriately. I don't know to the depth of what was going on. But when that happened, TLC was going to cancel them. And then the dad, Jim Bob.
Yes, Jim Bob.
The show must go on, is what he's thinking. So then he goes to the lowest measures to keep this show going on. And so we'll get into the whole complete story about that too, because then it's a thing of money. And there's a lot of interviewees that are on this, and they tell their side of it. That's it in a nutshell. A lot of these people were hurt by, unfortunately, the church in general, church of this particular organization.
I did not, as you, I did not expect for there to be this under pinning of a whole organization, this IBLP
yeah.
thing. I did not expect for that to be there. And I would call it a cult. I mean, some people did call it a cult in this docuseries. And I would call it a cult because they isolate people. You know, and they put them in groups and they try to get them away from like mainstream thinking, and then they indoctrinate them. There's mm-hmm. an indoctrination process. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that this man, this Bill Gothard, I don't think that he has their best interest at heart, you know?
Yeah. But when you think about the fact that some politicians are supporting these schools and teaching facilities that they have is because it doesn't look like a cult.
Right,
cults usually have their little islands, and they're literally isolated. These people weren't. I mean, there was a headquarters, and then there's the people within their homes, and so it doesn't look like a cult.
All
but
the
it
worse.
Is. All the worse is true.
Yes.
Absolutely. And Yeah.
The Institute in Basic Life Principles, according to their own website, which is iblp.org, they were founded in 1961.
Yes, and there's a thing about that too. So there is one of the people that's interviewed throughout the four episodes is this John Pease. He's a pastor and a journalist. And I don't know him. I could tell is a little bit of character by what comes out of his mouth when he's discussing this whole thing. And I kind of think I like that guy.
Yeah.
And so he exposes and explains some of the stuff. And because he's a journalist, he's done some digging on the Duggars. And and so therefore, we have his perspective. So,
you know, and the interesting thing about this whole thing is TLC, right? I didn't even know this, that it started out where they were only going to do like an hour documentary or something, like a special.
Yeah.
But it kind of, a family of 19 kids,
mm-hmm.
that is a train wreck. Like everybody wants to know, how do they feed all those kids? How do they do the laundry? How do they handle that many? It's like a little school,
right?
You know? And then on top of that, they have these out there thinking beliefs of they all wear dresses. And if you don't wear a dress, if you're a girl, obviously, you're wrong. It's like a moral problem.
Don't forget about the bib collar. Please, the pilgrim collar. Don't forget about that. And the curly hair, long curly hair.
And these children are beautiful.
They are.
They are absolutely beautiful. All
they
of them.
They are, boys and girls, all of them.
And honestly, you look at Jim Bob and you look at Michelle, they're beautiful people too. And like she just looks up at him with these doughy eyes like, you're my handsome prince.
Yeah.
You know, and he looks down at her and he's got a full head of hair and it's parted off to the center or to the left or whatever. You know what I mean? Not a hair out of place.
I absolutely know
what you mean. He looks like he could stand behind any pulpit anywhere and rise up on his heels three times and get people to do things.
Here's the thing.
What?
They literally look believable.
Yes.
Now, there are some out there that, you know, like when we did the thing on Rulon Jeffs Warren Jeffs.
Yeah.
They looked guilty.
They did.
They looked like pedophiles and creepos.
They did.
Now, I have to say, Jim Bob and Michelle, I hate to include her. I mean, she's just sucked up into it, whatever. What's his name? Jim Bob looks believable. Looks like shiny, happy people.
Yes, he does.
Really do.
Not only looks like it, but also sounds like it.
Acts like to the believable point. It's not over. I think Michelle is overdone, but I don't think he is.
Well, in my opinion, they both look sincere.
You know what?
They look and sound sincere. Yes, what?
They look as believable as Chip and Joanna Gaines.
Kind of, yes.
They do.
I'm sure other people would disagree with us on that and be like, well, I saw right through it. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but it just so happens to be that we share the same opinion. Coneheads.
Okay. Yeah. And so the sadness of it is when you do find out what the secrets are, right? Mm-hmm. And with their son, their oldest son, Josh, he had behaviors that were sort of covered
alarming.
Up. They were alarming. They knew about it. They were sort of covered up, but at the same time, they were exposed, you know, because it was the family that took him to the police with that friend. So Jim Bob's friend, Jim.
His name was Jim.
Stout or something like that.
Holt.
Okay.
But I'm going to interrupt that for a moment. Okay. That wasn't till later. They knew, the family knew in 2002. And I forgot how it came out, but I think the girls said something. It doesn't matter. The point is, for 3 years, it wasn't until 2015 that they were backed up against the wall and had to go to his best friend, Jim Holt. And Jim Holt was like, you knew this back then? And he was appalled because his daughter was dating.
Courting.
Yeah.
There's a difference.
Well, okay.
At 15 years old, these two families had decided that their kids could court to mm-hmm. see if they could become husband and wife.
Mm-hmm. And meanwhile, by the way, Jim Bob, the dad of Josh,
mm-hmm.
he created this law or this punishment for anybody who does sexual abuse. Well, what's he do? He secretly sends the son out to fix him. and quietly covers it up, because by then they're already on this show. And they say that he's at this camp helping and doing Mr. Good Deed stuff. So no, they didn't come out right away.
Right. And I know that. I saw that. Mm-hmm. I watched that. But they saw that there were red flags, mm-hmm. and they did take action. You have to give them credit for that, that they did try to intervene. They went to whatever it was, the IBLP camp, mm-hmm. the work camp, mm-hmm. which is basically just free child labor. And there was a lot of abuses there mm-hmm. within the work camp. Mm-hmm. So these parents were acknowledging this is happening, send him off to this camp, get him straightened out. And then he comes back into the fold, and now they have the show, and then all this stuff bubbles up. Well, then they find that there's child pornography on his computer.
Years later.
As in current.
As in years later.
Right.
So he's corrected, they say. Now, this touching and stuff, this happened to Jim Bob's own daughters. So I can't even, I'm at a loss of words for him to allow their son to be back in the presence of women and think that he's really corrected. I'm sure there's a lot we don't know.
Right.
And so now the son, the eldest, Josh, is married. And I think she has a baby right away. Pretty much. And then he gets caught cheating on her. Then it gets even worse. And later down the line, he's busted for not only child pornography, which is as bad as you can, well, not as bad as you can get, because it was also really sick torture.
Yeah.
And the one cousin of the Duggar children, she said, "I am so heartbroken that my cousin got pleasure out of watching this
torture."
And it's
the torture,
I mean,
of children.
It's, oh gosh. Yeah.
It's hard to imagine.
I got on that tangent, I think.
And obviously this is a big problem for parents, right? So if they find out that their child is involved in this, first of all, it would be hard to believe. You'd be like, oh my gosh, is this true? What's happening here? And then what do you do about it?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I don't know if I can put myself in that place or not, but whatever. They did what they did. Well, now, because they have this TLC show, they have to protect this show, I feel. I feel like they put everything to the side to protect the show.
That is exactly what they
did.
Yeah,
forget about protecting our actual daughters. Let's just protect the show.
Yeah, that's exactly. I mean, the show must go on. And they did not want the show to be canceled once this came out. So then it evolves into, let's do 19 and, or whatever they named it next. Because it had three names.
Yeah, every time they added a kid.
Well, I'm talking about every time an expose happened, TLC said, we can't promote that. So let's do now the kids going on and growing into adulthood. Then there was another scandal and they had to then change the name again. I don't recall all the names. But here's the thing. That went on, but the grown children had no idea that their father had put them in this predicament of... The father, Jim Bob, is getting all the money from the network.
Right.
Discovery, TLC, I guess they're all in one, I don't know. But he gets the kids to sign these things. And the daughter that's interviewed the most on this documentary, Jill, she didn't know what she was signing. It was the day before her wedding. And she knew it's something in regards to the show, but she didn't know. Well, it gave the dad the right for all the money, everything. And so they did everything they could, meaning Jim Bob and Michelle, to keep the show going. And it was an invasion of privacy for Jill and her husband. I don't know the story as much as you do for the other daughter, Ginger, who wrote the book.
Right.
And wanted, good for her, she wanted to put it in her own words so TV wouldn't edit it.
Yeah. Well, Jill, the daughter who you're talking about, mm-hmm. who signed this document the day before her wedding... And it was just sort of slipped to her, like, everybody else has signed. We just need your signature.
Yeah, no big deal.
Yeah, right. It's just a little thing about the show.
A little thing.
Mm-hmm. So she signs it and basically is promising for the next 5 years that she's giving TLC full access to her.
Yes.
Well, then she and her husband are living somewhere overseas. They're in another country.
They're doing a mission.
Yeah, they're doing a mission where they're doing God's work. Yeah. And she's having a baby, whatever. Well, TLC wants them to come back so that they can film this baby birthing situation. And and she's like, no, we're over here in blah, blah, blah land doing God's work.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, oh. And then her dad sends her a copy of her signature and the fine print.
Yeah.
And says, guess what? You're legally obligated.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he said it that way, but that's what he meant. That's what he was sending her the proof.
Yeah.
Well, I get it that you're overseas and you're having a baby, but guess what? You signed off your rights of that.
I thought that it was TLC that said, no, 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 this is the contract. Take it up with your dad.
Well, and she said that her dad was the one who sent the copy of her signature page and the copy of the fine print.
Oh, okay.
And then, yes, it was TLC who said, we paid your dad. You take the money up with him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
So she signed off an obligation and a responsibility with no compensation.
Mm-hmm.
And then when she did take, she and her husband took it up with the dad, he had problems with it, you know, and he was something about going to pay them minimum wage or how much is it worth to you, you know, or, you know, can I give you $10 an hour,
right,
something like that. Because that's a big commitment to be in front of these cameras. And now you're not like a little kid.
Right.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
So there might be more behind the scenes into that story. Like Jim Bob might say, well, guess what? Blah, 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 blah.
Yes.
But it looks bad for you, Jim Bob, if you're listening to the Life Happens Laugh Anyway podcast. I'm just saying it's not a good look.
Right. Now I know these things are going to seem random.
Yeah.
But I don't want to forget them. And they're right in front of me on my paperwork.
Ahead.
I learned some new words.
Oh, let's hear them.
But I forgot the definition of one of them.
It's okay. I'll look it up.
Wow.
What is it?
Tell me. A couple of them you're not going to need to look up.
Okay.
I heard of eye traps before.
Never heard that.
But I was like, oh, yes, it is the woman's fault. So the teaching is for the women to be dressed like pilgrims because they are eye traps. If they have anything revealing, that is the woman's fault for the man to be looking at her and lusting and, you know, just wondering, what's up, you know.
What's under that ankle?
Yes.
Okay. Eye trap.
Eye trap. Quiverful.
I've heard that.
Okay, I never heard of that before. And I know it's something to do with the family model or some kind of twisted way about God's order of the family. The dad in charge, the submissive mother, and the children obedience. Something like that.
Do you know what a quiver is?
Pen?
No.
Oh, that's a quill.
It's a pen. No.
No. What
a
is it?
A quiver is like...
Quiver. Ooh, like
it's
quiver.
Like a pouch that... that one would throw on their back with a big long strap that you could put your arrows in. So if you're hunting or you're...
I took archery. I forgot that.
Oh, how long has it been, Catherine, since you took archery lessons?
I was 15 years
old. Okay, well, it's
I'm
been a while.
I'm 54 today.
Well, you forgot about the quiver thing.
I sure did.
And the Bible talks about...
I know what it is
if
now.
Your quiver is full, you're blessed.
Mm-hmm.
And so your quiver is full of arrows.
That's
and they,
right.
They equate children with the arrows or something like that.
Yeah. All right. Parentification.
Never heard that.
Parentification is when you are a child, you're one of the older children, and then it's your turn to be the next buddy to take care of the younger children. Well, then as the next one up in line, maybe the second oldest child,
oh, sure.
Then they have a buddy they have to take care of. So parent passes on parenting to the eldest children and on down the line.
I remember hearing about their buddy system when the show was on. Because, I was raising our five boys, you know, at the same kind of time when this was all on TV. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that's a good idea. Nate, come here. Your buddy is Joel. You and Joel are buddies. Go play. Go have fun.
Do his laundry.
It didn't work. But, I kind of get it having a, in my opinion, my family is pretty big with five boys. That's kind of big. Yes. It was a
especially
lot.
Especially for today.
Well, it was just a lot for me. Maybe other people could handle it, but it was a lot for me. And so I get it. Like, you try to find ways to survive. You try to find ways to divide and conquer the chores. Mm-hmm. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
No, I think everybody, I think children should have responsibilities and chores. We always assign chores.
Yeah.
But having them be the parent, no.
Yeah. And I guess you could say that there's probably a paradigm in terms of where are they on this scale, right?
Yeah, right.
How much is it? Does it borderline abuse? Where's the crossover?
Mm-hmm. In this case, and in a lot of the polygamy things, it's totally abuse. We're not saying that families shouldn't have responsibilities and learn how to take care of one another. That's, you know, but they do that under the guise of that. All right. Are you ready for my next?
I'm ready.
One that I'd never heard before? Devil sticks.
Oh, yeah. Tell our listeners what devil sticks are, Catherine.
Tampons.
Oh, yeah. They're devil sticks.
They're devil sticks. They will take away the pleasure for your husband or the man.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because it's going to break the hymen.
Whoops.
And also that it was also believed that it would be pleasurable for the gal to put
use
it
those.
In.
Okay.
Pleasurable.
Yeah, this is the insanity.
Devil sticks.
This is the insanity of this whole thing.
Yes.
It's like, what? No. I don't even think they know anatomy. At that point, they don't even know what anatomy is.
No, all of these, well, a lot of people that are under these kinds of control umbrella type things are taught to believe, or rather they don't know anything
they're
about
unaware.
Sex. And then all of a sudden they got a 90-year-old crusty man with his hand on you and you're like, ah, I thought we're supposed to keep 6 inches away. What?
Oh, Lord,
so
help
horrible.
Us.
Also, did I'm you sorry. Catch the, you know, Cabbage Patch dolls were evil?
No.
Oh, yes.
Wait a minute. Why?
Evil. That was on the documentary.
I missed it.
They're signed was not by enough. whoever the creator was or designer,
okay.
He would sign his signature on the dolls. I'm sure, you know, machine
okay.
Imprinted.
But why does that make it bad?
Well, I don't understand why. I just glossed over it because it was the Barbie dolls, you know, they're devil toys, all of them.
Okay, here's the thing. If an organization can make feminine products evil,
mm-hmm.
they can make Cabbage Patch dolls evil too. They can make anything evil. A spoon is evil. A pencil, it's evil.
Yes, yes, right. Oh, it just, oh my goodness. It just blows my mind.
Okay, interesting. I just want to say this before we go forward because I don't want to forget it either.
Mm-hmm.
We looked into, or I got sucked into the Scientology portal.
You did. Portal. I remember that.
I was like,
we should do an episode on that.
Let's do it.
Okay.
Leah Remini, mm-hmm. who I loved her. I still love her in King of Queens.
Mm-hmm.
I love that show.
Yeah, it's funny.
I love Kevin James.
Yeah.
I love Leah Remini.
Mm-hmm.
I love that show. And when I found out that she was coming out with this docuseries about Scientology, The Aftermath or whatever it was called,
mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, I want to watch that because I like Leah Remini. And I watched it. And I'm one of those people where they call us an empath. Have you heard that term? You're an empath. I'm empathetic.
Oh.
I'm empathetic.
Yes. Yes, so you are. Definitely.
My goodness. This is why I can't watch horror films, Catherine, because I fall in love with the character and then they're tortured. And I'm like, no. If somebody that I love and care about is in pain, yeah. I'm in pain.
Yeah, yeah,
I
definitely
have a real sensitive way about me.
Yes, you do.
And I'm trying to not be like that so much. I'm
Why?
Trying. I don't want to care
change.
So much, Catherine.
Don't
I don't
want
to care. Okay, fine. Anyway, when I watched the Scientology Aftermath, the docuseries, sounded very similar to some of the victimization that was going on here in this the Duggar family,
mm-hmm.
and in this IBLP situation.
And the
Warren Jeffs.
Yeah, all of that.
Well,
I
and with
like that.
With Scientology, they had this weird kind of courses that they would teach.
Mm-hmm.
Like they started out with self-help and improvement. And who doesn't want to be helped
mm-hmm.
and improved? and here's a communication class that you can take, and it sounded great.
Right.
And with this IBLP thing, they do the same thing. Learn how to be a better person. Yeah, and they did homeschooling, and they did all this stuff. Well, it was all indoctrination, and it was all
grooming.
Yeah, it was grooming, and it was loosely based on what? On the Bible for these IBLP people.
That's okay. I had wanted to lead with that, actually.
Okay, we'll lead with it now.
I am so upset about any of these things that uses God's word and twists it to be what it's not meant to be. So they say a lot of things like, you know, that God is a God of order. They use that as a threat in this Gothard's training. Well, yes, he is a God of order. That is true. We do believe in the father, the head of the household, and the wife, yes, submitting to the husband. But the husband also has a command from God, and it's to love his wife and to love him, you know. And so that part is true. But when it's used to manipulate and to be and it's twisted, is very disturbing and upsetting, to the point where I personally am like, okay, I don't want people to see, well, people who don't know God's word, you know, I don't want them to see this documentary, because I was glad that my mom was like, yeah, I couldn't even put it on last night to watch it, as I was going to do, because it could be such a turnoff for people, and people who have been hurt by people in the church.
Right.
So it really is there's some, and it should be.
Well, I think that there's an abuse of authoritarianism here.
Mm-hmm.
And I do believe that Bill Gothard, as well as David Miscavige, who is the leader of Scientology, he took over from L. Ron Hubbard.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that all these people are extreme narcissists.
They are.
Extreme.
Mm-hmm.
And they're in it for them.
Mm-hmm.
And the way they see it, they're the answer.
Yeah.
Okay? And I think that they just use and abuse anything that is at their means to do so in order to accomplish their goal. And once they start building popularity and they get people on board and they get money,
then it's all over.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of the teachings that Bill Gothard taught was that we have this umbrella, right? And if your family is outside of this umbrella, then the devil can tempt you and get at you.
At risk.
Huh? You mean to tell me the devil can't try at any time, whether you have this authority order?
Yes.
I hate that.
They're using fear.
Absolutely. Fear is the driving force.
They use fear to control.
Yes.
That is what cults do.
They always do.
With Scientology,
and controlling people.
I was telling you that Scientology, they have... they believe that you have these little thetans.
When you said that, I wondered if you were talking correctly.
it's like what? Thetans or something like that.
It sounds Philly.
it is Philly. It's nonsense. L. Ron Hubbard was a prolific nonfiction writer. He was like a fantasy writer.
Yeah.
He wrote all kinds of like outer space stuff.
Yeah,
whatever.
Did.
Well, then he just decided to write up his own religion.
Right.
And so why not have millions of thetans that are attached to your body? And, you know, mind control is a thing.
I just have to say.
What?
If I were to come up with this idea that there were thetans and there are angels surrounding me.
Yes.
Come to me. Because I think there's angels all around me. Nobody would follow me. I mean, I couldn't get anyone to do anything.
I don't
know. What's the problem here?
And L. Ron Hubbard, I don't know if you've ever seen a picture of him.
Oh, yeah.
Oof.
Well, the same with the Warren and Rulon Jeffs.
Yeah.
Ugh.
And this Bill Gothard is nothing, you know, like, whatever.
He's
just a
head.
Guy.
Yeah. The one interviewee said he's got a Lego
Bill
head.
Gothard, guess what?
Well,
I know you already know this, but I'm saying to our audience, Bill Gothard is the son of the guy who came up with the Bibles that are put into the hotels
the
by
Gideon,
the Gideons.
The Gideon organization.
Yeah. Well, okay. So it's all sad.
Yes. And again, we're skipping around.
Sorry.
But it's right here in front of the place. Right here in front of my notes here. Did you catch the part about spanking and blessing at the same time? This was taught at the Bill Gothard big convention stuff.
You know, I did see that.
Okay. Yeah. And they gave a demonstration.
Right.
And I will give the listeners a little picture of what this entails. So this crusty old man in a suit in a big auditorium or whatever it is, and they ask for a volunteer. And a boy, he looks like he's about 8 years old, is volunteered by his parents. And so the crusty old man who's doing this teaching says, "Now, son, what you did was your dad is not pleased with it, and it's inappropriate.
Yeah.
Now, bend over." And then he gently taps his bottom, and he says, oh, and they also call it, by the way, giving you encouragement. They did that all the way up to adulthood. So by blessing him, so you're wondering, how's he blessing him?
Was he using an object to spank?
No.
Or using his hand?
No, just his hand.
Okay.
But the boy is bent over his lap in front of all these people.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's smiling. The old crusty man is smiling while he's spanking him.
Right.
And he says, "Now, son, now you see what you've done and how this is a blessing. This is good for you," or whatever he says. And so he says, "Now, son, give me a hug." So the boy gives him a hug and he says, "Now, that was not a proper hug."
Creepy.
I forgot a major part of that. While the man is smiling and spanking his butt, not hard, just to demonstrate, he says, "God's hand is on your life, son." And the whole audience laughs because of the pun. God's hand is on his
on
your
his
life.
Butt?
Because he's smacking his butt.
Okay.
And then
I don't really get like cult jokes.
Yeah, no kidding.
Okay.
And then when he says, "Now that hug wasn't real, I didn't really feel the apology in that hug. Now let's do it again." And so then afterward he says, "We need to spank you again." And so then afterward, the son gives a bigger hug.
Okay.
You know, a more proper hug where he leans into him more.
Okay.
I wanted to throw up. It was so awful.
Yeah.
It was so awful. A display of disgust.
Well, and that's also because we know all these accusations. There's a lot of abuse. There's a lot of sexual stuff that goes on at these camps that are run by this organization. They had a lot of witnesses that came on to the docuseries and shared their stories of abuse in multiple ways, both physical abuse, beating-wise, sexual abuse. They sent these boys off to these camps, and girls too. And the one girl said that she was ostracized because she had shoes that had a little tiny heel on them.
Barely, too.
Yeah, and the heel was considered to be seductive
in some way. And she even said, I think it was more of that particular leader,
just
female
like
leader,
her.
That just didn't like it.
You know, I wrote down here in my notes, as I was listening to all of these different things, I wrote down, unchecked power equals abuse.
I wrote that too.
Yes.
Yes.
And I do think that that's a thing that happens in many organizations. If you get these nut jobs who are totally narcissist and they have some sort of sexual deviant to them.
Or whatever.
Right.
Greed.
Whatever. Mm-hmm. Right. If they're into money, power, sex, whatever. And you give them
control.
A position of authority and they have some money.
Oh, yeah.
And control of people.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's like that's lights
when
out.
When the checks and balances are in play, and or rather when they're in place, that can prevent some of it. I mean, at one point, so I had no idea it was going to get as bad as it did with the Bill Gothard thing.
Right.
And, there was so much of it. Anyway, then we find out that he was also inappropriate with young women.
Right.
The girls. I think they were 18 and younger when they were taken away on the bus, and they felt like it was this great privilege to work at headquarters, which is in Chicago, suburb of Chicago.
Yeah, Hinsdale.
Yes. And
there's white pillars. Watch out.
And some of the things that happen there are just so disturbing.
Very much so.
As you can imagine. Yeah. But to keep on track with where we are in this documentary, sometime around the third episode, when the show has to, this show on the Duggards has to go on, but there's scandal around them, so then they have to create another show, and these poor girls are always the victims because they're still not able to say no to their dad. It's exposed now that the sisters were touched by their brother, and now they're having to go online, or not online, but on an interview, the Megyn Kelly show or something like that, and they downplay the abuse.
Right.
And even that was painful for them because, one, they have to live it all over again. It's on public display, and they're violated, and now they're having to obey some more so that the show can go on because that's all the dad.
Right, and they're the victims.
Right, they're re-victimized.
And the perpetrator is being protected.
Yes.
But you have to remember that these girls have been, from birth, raised up in this doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
In this, your dad is in charge, your dad is the authority, mm-hmm. everybody submits. And Jim Bob, I guess, under that doctrine, felt like it was on him to keep this family together, to keep this quote-unquote ministry going, because he believed that the TLC show was a ministry. That was a ministry for him.
That was his excuse.
Yep.
Yes.
This money, it's ministry.
I just wonder if at some point in the beginning that maybe he really felt.
Oh, I think he did.
You know, and then it just turned into more greed and more greed and more greed. But I'm so bothered. He might as well have touched the girls himself, in my opinion, for not putting a stop to that.
True, because he didn't protect them. They didn't protect their daughters.
And that's his role, according to their structure.
And they were trying to protect their son. And maybe they believed that he was healed from whatever his problems were, or felt like it was just normal and it wasn't a big deal. I don't know. Maybe. Whatever the thing is.
Yeah.
But you have to remember that indoctrination is indoctrination.
Mm-hmm.
And so these girls were raised up in that. So, yeah, of course, they're going to have a hard time saying no to the authority that they have been told their entire life, you have to do this or you're not a Christian.
Absolutely. No. And added onto that layer, not only that, but they're supposed to be shiny, happy people. They're supposed to, for years, they were supposed to look good.
Yeah.
And shiny.
Jill had a nose ring, and she talked about it on the docuseries, and she said when she got her nose ring and when she started wearing pants, it was as if her salvation was questioned. People were questioning, are you really a Christian? Are you really
that's too bad.
Submissive to the Lord? Because look at you. You know, but she explains it. I mean, these girls are very well spoken.
No, they all seem very well educated, the ones that we saw.
Well, not only well educated, but well spoken in terms of like their demeanor and like they don't seem like drama mamas, you know, like they just, and she kind of gave a little bit of credence to, you know, the fact that she could understand why people would question her moral character, because there was so much emphasis on that your moral character is
your countenance counts.
Well, it's all legalism. It's all outward.
Yep.
So your outward appearance definitely is reflective of your inner condition.
Right.
So she was really articulate about that, and I think that she was filled with grace when she explained it.
Yeah.
Because one could go the other way and go like, these people just continually were judgmental. But she was, I felt like she was being gracious to the community, because the community is all embroiled in this.
Yeah. Yeah. I would agree with that too. Okay. Yeah. Here's another thing in my notes too, that when this started to come out about Bill and his brother, Steve Gothard, the Lego head, and
we're sorry, Lord.
And their abuse.
We're in a cheeky mood.
We're just quoting what the other girl said.
Yeah, called him a Lego head.
I didn't call him a Lego head.
Oh, I thought that was your term.
No.
Oh, okay.
The woman who was under, you know, their authority called him that.
That's not on us.
Right.
All right, go ahead. Lego head. What about him?
He, where was I going with this?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, when it came out that they were abusing these women, then what'd they do? Well, they turned to Matthew 18 about gossip.
Yeah.
So then you see an interview with the girls and they're saying, well, if you don't have anything nice to say at all.
Even if you were sexually abused, don't say anything.
Yeah, don't say at all. Gossip is not God's plan. So that's how that was used. Again, using scripture, cherry picking scripture to weaponize, bury all of these terrible things that they were doing.
It was just a big cover-up.
Yes.
Is what it was.
Yes. Well, so then Bill Gothard, he's literally taken off the stage of his own empire by his own police that he created. So now he's off. That's embarrassing. Well, all these sharks come in because they know it's $90 million
this
organization is worth.
It's a vacuum. Somebody's going to get in there.
Well, guess who did? Michelle and Jim Bob Nuggard. Now they're the head of this organization. I don't know if they still are or not, but that's around the time when the Homeland Security, they bust Josh, their oldest son, for the child pornography. And Duggard, the dad, Jim Bob, he has the audacity to run for Senate while his son is under the scrutiny and under the, he's being charged by Homeland Security for child abusive child pornography. And that just goes to show the, the audacity, I don't even know the word, the belief system that they have that it, that's okay.
Yeah, I think they feel untouchable.
Yes.
Like, you know, this is obviously God's plan. God is using us.
Yes. Here's another thing in my notes. Sorry.
That's okay.
It's all disjointed. But Josh, he had always been tech savvy. And there was this, there's this organization called Covenant Eyes.
Right.
And Josh was able to circumvent it leading back to himself, but somehow did it anyway. He was able to splice it or whatever. I have no idea.
Well, he thought that he was going to outsmart Homeland Security, the CIA, the FBI, those people. Well, guess what?
Yeah. And he did for a while.
Well, and he was working for his family's car dealership, and they traced the downloads of child pornography to computers at the dealership. And he claimed that it could have been anybody who had it on there. Okay. But then somehow, some way, they ended up trying him for these crimes, and he is currently serving a 12 and a half year sentence.
That's it.
For child pornography. He's not serving a sentence for molesting his sisters. He is serving a sentence for having child pornography on his computer. 12 and a half years. But he recently was added a few months because he had contraband in prison. He had a cell phone. Some way, somehow.
Really?
Somebody got him a cell phone in there. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
I just read that.
Well, I didn't get to see all the way to the end of the last episode, but I wrote down loyalty big on, and it, because there was something about the power of brainwashing them into being loyal to what they've been taught. And so it was very, very hard to break away. Something like that. But as I said, I didn't get to finish watching. It was like maybe 15 minutes left. And I really wanted to circle back to that about the power of making one feel a sense of loyalty to, because like Jill kept saying, I never said no to my parents until when they were away on that ministry mission trip for 10 months. And they did say no, but then in the end, they were forced to go to TLC or whatever.
You know, loyalty really can be great, and then it can also be used as a tool to manipulate.
Just like anything.
Yeah. And you just use fear of loss, hope of gain, right? To manipulate things. It's sad.
It's disturbing.
It is. And you know, one of the things that we talked about too before we started recording was we were both disturbed by the depiction of Christianity in this docuseries.
Yes.
So just be forewarned that, first of all, if anybody is listening to our podcast and you are not a Christian, I just want to say on behalf of all Christians, they're not all like that.
No.
Churches are not all like that.
And that's why this makes front page news. This is why it's on the front of magazines and why there's documentaries, because it's so appalling and shocking.
It is.
And it's rare. Fairly rare. It's rare. We're all broken. We all make mistakes. But this is, we still believe in God. We believe in God's word. We believe he's a loving God. We know that the devil uses trickery, and the devil knows God's word better than anybody, actually.
Yeah.
And so from the very beginning, he used it to trick Eve. That was the first thing spoken, or at least quoted anyway, in the Bible was, did God really say that?
Right, to put doubts in your mind and to control.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't say that the IBLP, I don't think that that's Christianity. I think that's a cult. Either.
Yeah.
I believe that that organization uses Christianity to motivate and manipulate their followers to give and to be, you know, like that. That's why this family had 19 kids.
Yeah.
It's because one of the tenants of the IBLP was to have a huge family.
Mm-hmm.
Don't put any rails on that. Just have as many kids as God will give you.
Well, and of course, the more kids they had, the more ratings TLC got. So there's that.
And I think
a lot to gain.
I think before the TLC program came along, the IBLP, I think that they were thinking the more that we have these big families, then we have people for years to come that are going to be underneath our teaching. You know, it's like a generational thing.
Yeah, I want to address something else, too. At the end, the very fourth episode, I was very upset the way that narrative was going as well. It talked about this thing called, it was Christian homeschool graduates, and they were to infiltrate the highest levels in government.
The Joshua program or
something? Yeah, it's called the Joshua Generation, and their goal is to get in the U.S. Senate, to be Supreme Justices, Presidents, whatever, advisors. And I, for one, I'm all for Christians being, you know.
Movers and shakers?
I am.
Yeah.
But this was put in a negative light at the very fourth episode. Like it's a bad thing, but I, you know, we don't believe that. Unfortunately, caution about that fourth episode, just because I don't know, I'm just really bothered by it. It makes Christians look bad, but this is not. Nothing is how it seems, or things can be just like the narrative can be twisted.
It can be, and you do have to be careful. You have to be cautious. And don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Just in case, if you're listening to us or if you watch this and you go, oh, well, that's Christianity. I don't want anything to do with it.
Yeah.
Well, we don't want anything to do with that kind of an organization either.
Right.
At all.
Right.
We feel like it's extremely abusive.
Right.
And damaging to the Christian faith.
And as you pointed out, that's not really Christian. That's not a Christian church.
It
is a weird, I don't know, institution.
It's a cult. Call it what it is.
Yeah.
It's a cult, and it's run by narcissists who just want to feed their own ego for whatever reason, if they want money, sex, power, whatever they want.
Yeah.
That's what they think they want. So they're going to have their day in court. All right. Anything else that you want to say about that?
I don't think so.
All right. Well, let's move on.
I think I got too fired up.
God is going to handle it. He's going to handle
it. Yeah, that's true. Absolutely.
So we shared a synopsis of this whole docuseries, The Duggars, and we shared our thoughts, and we also shared our warnings. You know, we said that we were going to share some warnings. Is just be wise. Just look out. Watch out, you know, for what's coming.
Yeah.
All right. Now, let's share some scripture.
Let's do
Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 and 16 says this, and it's under the subheading of true and false prophets. Watch out for false prophets.
Yes.
They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? The answer is no.
No.
They do not.
Right.
So stay away from the Lego heads. Okay. Call to action for this episode. We decided that the best call to action for any of us is to pray. Pray that God would reveal the truth in all of us. I mean, Catherine and I, we know each other pretty well, and we would both we do. We both say this, that we're just trying to put one foot in front of the other. We're not perfect. We don't have it all figured out. No. We're vulnerable. We're weak. We're broken. We're all the things.
Right.
And we're saved by the blood of Jesus and by the grace and mercy that he provides for us on the cross. Mm-hmm. We're saved. Right. He covers all of that.
Yeah.
Praise God. Thank you, God.
Yes.
And we're just trying to get along here.
Right. And when we know we did something wrong, we still confess.
Try.
We still ask for washing, you know, of
we're not perfect. Being. We're just sinners. Yeah. And we just need grace.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, that's about it. That's all
I got. A little heavy.
I know. Sorry. Okay. Go back and listen to some of our other episodes, like the one about weird criminals. That's a good one. Well, you've been listening to the Life Happens, Laugh Anyway podcast. I'm still comedian Tracy DeGraff.
I'm still Catherine.
See you next time.
Probably.